Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 39. Well, guys, we're continuing our series, First of Her Kind. Today's episode is all about ambition. So we're talking all things the one who dreams out loud. This episode is for the women who dare to want more and didn't stay quiet about it. We're going to be exploring the discomfort of your own ambition, which brings envy to other people that can spark how society polices powerful, attractive, educated Black women who won't shrink to fit anyone's idea of being humble.
At all.
So I definitely think it's a really good topic to discuss as, you know, just navigating corporate life to relationships, friendships, and et cetera.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of our viewers can relate. I feel like anytime we talk about corporate struggles, I feel like we get a lot of engagement. So,
yeah,
I think this might hit home for a lot of people.
No, definitely. I agree for sure. So what are your thoughts when it comes to society being uncomfortable with Black women who are not struggling? Society has always made room for the struggling Black woman, but an attractive, educated, healing one, that's threatening.
You know, I've been watching, you probably don't, did you ever watch Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Here and there, not like you think though.
But you know who Candy is?
Of course, yes.
So her daughter is on this spinoff called Next Gen NYC.
Yeah.
On Bravo. And it's interesting because there's one girl on there, Damon Dash's daughter.
Oh, okay.
But Riley's the only like full Black cast member. Mm-hmm. And like, quite frankly, she's pretty much got more money than all of them,
let's be honest, right?
Even though they're all kind of like Nepo babies or whatever, grew up Upper East Side. And it's interesting how the microaggressions she deals with on that show, even still, they're like calling her aggressive, telling her that when she drinks, she, you know, gets to be too much, stuff like that. And you can literally see through the microaggressions how they're threatened by her. And it makes them uncomfortable that a Black woman can have more than they do.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, I don't want to say ignorance or audacity on their part, but it's just like they view us Black people, no matter what social class you're in, as beneath them.
Yeah.
And it's like they're flabbergasted when not only are you at their level, you have more than they do. And I think it makes them uncomfortable. And then that's why, you know, she deals with the microaggressions on the show. Or even sometimes I feel like, for me, I haven't dealt with maybe it's not microaggressions, but people are just always, like, they get quiet, you know, when you talk about something you did or a place you went or something that you have. It's like, you know when people get quiet because they're surprised?
Literally.
It's like that, yeah.
That awkward, like, smile. It's like, oh, shit.
Oh. Yeah. It's like a, oh, is that a, yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting. Considering us being suburban Black girls, we can definitely agree with that point. You know, I think there's been times where I definitely have faced things of that nature where people may assume that. And, you know, I think society views, you know, us as Black people as always needing help, always needing a handout, always struggling. And when we don't have that story, it's kind of like, I feel like it's harder for them to kind of understand us. Or I feel like they're always used to feeling like we need help. And none of us are always the help, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do find it interesting, like you said, to your point, I've been in situations with, you know, non-Black counterparts, and I feel like they have a hard time identifying with me or communicating with me because they're used to this sad, sob, struggle story. Mm-hmm. And not all of us have that story, right? And so when you're able to keep up with them in conversation and whatever they're spitting at you, you can spit back and be like, oh my God, same here. Like it's kind of, you could see where it's like, oh wow. Like she really kind of like knows this stuff or has been done that or seen that or experienced that.
Right.
And so I find that interesting, but it's true. I mean, we see it just depicted in media alone, right?
And it's almost like this happened to me the other day. I made a YouTube video and I was just talking about how I'm going to Tulum soon. And this person probably meant no harm by their comment, but I just think naturally or instinctually for me, like my initial reaction was to be offended because they were like, oh, by the way, in Tulum, you know, it's a lot of dirt roads, so make sure you bring sandals, like no heels. And I've been to Tulum before.
Right, literally. Like, it's you not know, your first merry-go-round.
I'm sure they didn't mean any harm, but it's just like after years of like dealing with stuff like that, it's like...
The assumptions.
I know. Thank you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because, you know, I feel like, you know, as Black people, the assumptions that come with us about our lives, it's like I'm always having to speak up for myself or be like, actually, no. You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like they don't assume when you're not Black, but when you are Black, they just assume. Mm-hmm. And it's just so odd to me.
Yeah. I think I try to have patience because some people really don't mean any harm. They just need a little bit of education.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I do think some people just look down on you because you're Black. And I think that's one aspect of growing up in suburbia that I can appreciate is that I think it gave me better discernment on who's actually being shady versus who maybe just needs a little bit of education and they really just did not, you know, mean any harm. So.
No, yeah. Definitely I agree with that. What does it look like to you to be soft and successful?
You know, at work, I've been called the silent assassin before.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's why I laughed when Haley said that yesterday. Because I think because maybe I'm quieter or keep to myself or whatever, I'm not the most talkative, that I don't want to say that people assume that I can't do my job, but that it's more, and I've always been like this. My mom has always said it. It's like, I speak when I have something to say. Mm-hmm. And so when I speak, I'm not just wasting words. You know how people just love to hear themselves talk?
Yes.
Like, I'm not one of those people. So, like, when I have something to say, it's meaningful or helpful or whatever. And so for me, that's how I guess being my version of soft is just, like, being able to be myself. But also, it's like, no, when I speak, you're going to respect what I have to say because I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point. You know, I think of soft and successful as you're good at what you do, but, you know, I feel like sometimes when you're in work mode or grind mode, you may have to put on that, you know, more of that, I guess, bolder version of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I see the soft side of being soft and successful, it's, you know, depending on what type of room you're in, you know, I know we're not the same person that we are at work or when it comes to handling, you know, anything related to building our businesses, we're different when we're around our family or around maybe like our partner or our friends. And so I believe in, you know, adapting to whatever environment I'm in, because it's like, I would hate to show up as Ashlyn the worker, you know, in some of my relationships or friendships. So I believe in being soft to and for the people that I love, because I know work me, she's pretty hard. She's kind of blunt. She's also quiet and she's not really personable sometimes. So, yeah.
I think another thing too is when you do work hard and you're more independent, I think something for me that I'm starting to do that prevents me from getting overwhelmed or prevents me from like, yeah, being harder is being okay, like asking for help or taking people's help. If there's something that can be taken off my plate, it's hard for me to give things up because I want things done how I want them to. But acts of service, being a love language and being able to accept help from people, I think can keep you softer versus like this stressed out, hard.
Yeah. No, definitely. And I learned that the hard way, right? Where we don't want people to touch our work or mess with our work because we know how we want it done. But you do realize once you take that PTO, the ship is sinking because you're not there. And I've learned that the hard way where it's like, why was none of this done while I've been gone? Or, you know, you're getting texts and calls or emails when you're supposed to be on PTO. So to your point, I agree with that. I've like lately, I try to find ways to get what I need done. But if I know I have PTO coming up, you know, I want to be able to pass the project along or keep those involved that need to be. That way, if I'm gone, you can kind of pick up where I left off. Because at first I used to feel so like, it's mine, it's mine. But now I'm like, child, I'll be ready to go. Yeah. Like people that just don't take maybe more than a few days of PTO a year, I'm like, no, I have to go somewhere or just be off every couple months, honestly, just to kind of like reset.
Yeah. I definitely used to be like that at work, but now I'm like building out my team, and yeah, they're very strong. So luckily that makes things easier for me. So.
Yeah. How do you protect your joy and vision from energy that feels off?
Don't share it. I feel like you don't share ideas until they're done. Yeah. You don't share something that it might be a win until it's, you know, solidified, done deal, signed, sealed, and delivered. And also discerning who you can share good news with. Because that could be a buzzkill when you're excited about something and the other person's like, oh, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the sad thing with that is, as like our friends, you know, there's highs and lows with that, right? I realize when people are really not at their peak or they're not in their I'm doing well season, it's hard to share good news for them, right? Because they're like, yeah, dang, she's doing all this and I'm just not doing any of that. Or, you know, things aren't really going good for me at this moment. So I believe in kind of like, okay, I can share news with those I know will generally be happy for me, or to be honest, have something good going on themselves as well, to where they're more receptive of my good news. But yeah, honestly, a lot of my news I don't really share until it's kind of like already out there, just because I do believe that, you know, people can wish bad upon you, especially if it's something that you're kind of working on in the behind the scenes. So I'm honestly kind of just like, once it's done, then I'll tell you about it. But before that, it's just kind of,
yeah,
I keep it to myself.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because, you know, third eye is real to me. Energy is real. And I feel like people can seriously prey on your downfall. And the second you speak about something is when it doesn't come to fruition. I think protecting that energy around whatever you're trying to accomplish and what your goals are.
Yeah. And it is kind of sad because I'm honestly starting to notice it now with people close around me, just because I feel like lately I've really been doing more and elevating my life, right? I think the podcast alone. And so it is kind of like, dang, but hey, it is what it is. I'm going to keep going and I will share less. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to learn just to not take it personal.
It definitely is easier to share with people who also have other things or a lot of things going on, because you can have a friend that also has a podcast and they're like, oh, what are you up to? Oh, just, you know, about to go film the podcast, whatever. And then it's not weird, you know. But when you have all of these other projects or side hustles and, you know, your friend calls you and they're just out, like popping around, you know, it's awkward, you know.
Right.
When you're talking about all the things you're working on and, people sometimes don't have anything productive to share.
No, literally. I'm like, yes, I'm living through you.
No, seriously.
Living through you.
That's what I'd be saying. I'm like, oof, I don't have the time. So living vicariously through you.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, you know, there's times where I feel like we do honestly do a good job of balancing it to where, you know, we're working hard, but we also have time to play. Right. But for me, I'm like, nah, like Euro summers, when I'm seeing all these successful rich people literally taking a month off and just spending it just going around Europe, I'm like, that is when I know I've made it. When I can literally take a month off.
Yeah.
And so for me, until I can get to that point, nah, like I'm not going to be overdoing it. You know what I mean?
Agree.
Even for me, I was just thinking back this week, like I cannot believe how much money I was spending just going out, being in sections, buying bottles. Like, why was I doing all that? Like, why? Because I felt like I had it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But that's just growth. Mm-hmm. Just being out, period, right? Spending money, like, it's honestly not normal to go out 3-4 days a week spending $100+ like each place we're bopping around to, like, you know what I mean?
No. And I feel like it's very normalized here.
Yeah.
And just part of the culture. But outside of even going out, just the amount I feel like that we go out to eat, I think, is abnormal.
It really is.
I think about that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't take it for granted though, because, you know, for some people, going out to eat one time in the month is like that's their one thing that month.
Yeah.
You know, whereas it's happening, it might happen twice or three times in a week. And
No, literally. Do you ever feel pressure to tone it down to make others feel comfortable?
I think sometimes the thought is there, but I think as of lately, I haven't been acting on those thoughts or feelings as much as maybe I used to.
Why is that?
For the same reason I've started setting boundaries with people, because it's just like, why am I putting something else? Why am I giving myself anxiety about something else?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to wear what's in my closet. You know, I'm going to be who I am.
Yeah.
And show up as myself, because it's exhausting not doing that. And I think a lot of times it's, I don't want to say innocent, but yeah, it's like, I'm minding my business. I got dressed this morning. I'm wearing what's in my closet. I showed up. I'm not walking in the room being loud about, hey, I'm here.
Right.
Or bragging about what I'm wearing or anything like that. So it's like, I can't stress out about it if I'm just showing up as me and somebody doesn't like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for sure. Because at the end of the day, it's not on you, it's in you, you know, and people can feel it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, who cares what you really have on? Regardless if you're really dressed up or not, they're still going to feel away. They're still going to feel intimidated. So it's like, let me just show up as I really am, right?
Yeah.
And you see it, like you clock it when you're out with people and they're like talking about what you have on. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why does it matter what I have on? Mm-hmm. Just say you like the fit and move on. Like, why do you have to speak and say other negative things when you know I have a nice outfit on? Mm-hmm. I just think that's so odd how people do stuff like that. Or you may not even have all this designer on, but you just know how to piece things together in a mm-hmm. nice way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes that actually makes me uncomfortable. One, because I don't like to be the center of attention anyways, but like, you look nice, thank you. And like, moving on, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when people start going on a tangent about my out, like, that's, it actually makes me uncomfortable.
Aww.
I don't know, because yeah, like some people would be like, I know, it's fabulous, isn't it? Like, I'm not like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But yes, the top came from, you know?
Yeah, they can't wait
yeah.
to talk about it. And I'm right. like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just been about the balance of not shrinking myself, but also like, I'm not one to draw additional attention to myself either. And I do think there can be a time and a place maybe for certain things. Like, there's certain mm-hmm. things that I'm just not wearing to work. I'm not wearing nice things. I need more money.
Hello?
I'm not wearing anything nice to work.
I'd be ducking and dodging people in the parking garage. I'm like, y'all, not gonna see what I've got.
Right. And as much as I don't want to walk into a room people pleasing or trying to prevent other people from having a negative perception of me, I do think sometimes there can be like a time and a place. I think one example, I just thought of an example, like, of not shrinking yourself, but maybe also still knowing your audience. Like, let's say you're dating someone and like his family members struggle or they don't live in the nicest neighborhood or whatever. I think that's a time where I'm not gonna like show up in my best fit. You know? Yeah. And that has nothing to do with me trying to tone it down or be less of myself. It's just, I don't know. I think that's a little bit of emotional intelligence or whatever. You know what I mean? It's reading the room.
Correct. Yeah. No, it's funny you say that, because as you know, the guy I'm dating now, it's still a new situation. And I went to go meet a lot of his family in the country. Mm-hmm. And so I purposely made sure, you know, I didn't bring all that extra stuff. I brought, you know, cute outfits, but simple things. I didn't bring things that would overly make me look like, you know, I'm going outside.
Dressed to the
or something.
Nines.
Yeah, like I really did minimal makeup, things of that nature, because mm-hmm. I already knew the situation I was walking into. Mm-hmm. I'm a girl, a Black woman that honestly is raised in the suburbs, was raised with, I guess, more resources and mm-hmm. things of that nature. And I know where my dude's family comes from and their struggles. And so for me, what do I look like showing up as this doll, even though regardless, just based on my aura alone, it was already enough for them. And they were already talking about me, mm-hmm. which I knew they would, right? So it's like, why give them extra ammo?
Wait, what did they say?
You know, like, who is she? Be careful for girls like her. All they want is your money. That type of stuff. Like, are you sure she really likes you for you and she's just not here? I'm like, okay. So And I knew all that stuff was going to come, right? Just alone, I sound different than them. You know,
well, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I got the whole nine. And I knew I was going to get all that. So it's like, why would I even come and put that shit on if I already knew what I was dealing with? It got better over time. But, yeah, definitely the first impressions weren't the best from the women, sadly. The men, all the men in his family were cool with me from the beginning. But it was definitely the women. But, I mean, that's the sad thing. I don't know why as women sometimes we're just automatically negative against another woman and assume certain things about her without getting to know me.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's a thing in, I don't know if it's in Black families or just period, but I do feel like the women are more protective and less welcoming. I think that's been in my family too.
Right. I think it's in all of our families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've met people's families and I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. And they're like,
like, where the hell she come from?
It's like, who's this Hillary Banks ass bitch?
No, literally. Yeah. So it is always, it is extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. We're all used to it, right?
I guess.
How does success shift the dynamics in your relationships?
What kind of relationships?
Whatever you think. It could be just, honestly, any type of relationship, depending on how you want to tackle it.
I think it depends on the relationship, where that person's at in their life, because I feel like I've had moments where I've had wins and there's been people clapping for me. And then I feel like there's been moments where I've had wins and people are not the happiest for you because they're not happy in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, did I say this last week? I don't remember. But when you have a friend and you're both like, let's say you're both going through it and then you start working and you start achieving things, then I feel like sometimes that person can feel some type of way because like you both started here and you've elevated and it forces them to look in the mirror like, damn, what have I been doing?
Right.
And I think that can affect the dynamic. I think jealousy is a normal emotion. It's what's going to affect the dynamic is how that person chooses to act on that. If they choose to be motivated by it or if they choose to hate or be upset at the fact that you're growing and evolving. So I think it all depends on how that person feels.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And, you know, for me, I just think of like, you know, it's important to have friends around me where we're all just growing as just natural humans, right? Because it just makes it easier where there is no shift. But when you do start to gain more success or you're starting to do better for yourself and maybe you have, you know, people around you that are a little more stagnant, there definitely is a shift. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. There is a shift in how they feel, how they act towards you. You know, people can start becoming more combative with you or acting as if you don't have enough time for them or anything you say or do. It's kind of like it's like they have something to say back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this weird unsaid energy where it's like, are we good?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, we're fine. And it's like, no, you're acting different. And it's like, no, everything's okay. Or then they start to think like you're always busy or I don't know, just all that type of stuff. And that's unfortunate. So, you know, I really try to find friends where we're on similar playing fields and I know you have something going on as well. That way, as we both grow, it's just easy, smooth sailing. I just hate unnecessary just drama or feeling as if a friend is acting different with me or treating me differently just based off how I'm moving.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say too. It's a lot easier when everybody has their own things going on because it's like, you can still have a solid friendship. You don't have to talk every day.
Right.
But, you know, you connect when the schedules align, you stay in touch, whatever it is. And I think that makes things a lot easier. I think it's any relationship, right? Like you don't want to date someone who doesn't have their own life or things going mm-hmm. for them. And it's harder to be friends with people who don't have other things going on. And then that's when you get into the friendships where it's like, I'm not your man or
literally,
you know, or like if it was a situation where you were very close and talking every day, but then life happens or life gets busy and then people get upset when they don't have the same access to you, or you don't have the same availability for them. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
No, it really is.
I also think, too, when you start to see success in your life, your priorities change, and mm-hmm. that affects your relationship dynamics if your priorities do not no longer match theirs. For example, how we spend a lot of time on this podcast. We don't go out as much. 9 to 5s, multiple other things on the side. There's less time to go out and be drinking. And even if there is time, a lot of times I pass because I need to be productive the next day, and going out and drinking.
Yeah.
For me, that means napping.
Right.
A lot the next day. So I can't spend as much time on that type of stuff. And sometimes people feel some type of way.
No, seriously, especially when they're used to the version of you that was always down to go get drinks or catch a vibe or whatever it may be, or maybe do a last minute trip or be out all night, right? And yeah, no, very true. How do you stay motivated when the vision feels bigger than your current reality?
I think I kind of look at it like I have no choice. From the perspective of, if I'm not doing the things that I'm doing, there's no alternative. Like, there's not a, oh, for me at least, this is completely different for other people, right? Where it's like, oh, if this doesn't work out, maybe I'll go back to school and be a lawyer. Like, no, what I am doing now is what I know I'm supposed to do, and this is what I want to do for my life.
Yeah.
So I don't have a choice now but to make it work. So the vision is big, and you just have to be consistent and keep trucking along, at least for me, because it's like, there is no alternative vision.
Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
And obviously, you know, you make plans and God laughs. So he might be laughing at me right now, like, oh no, there's something completely different in store for you. But as of right now, all I can see is this, and
yeah,
there's no, yeah, for lack of a better word, like, plan B.
Your story's already written, you know, so every day you're one step closer to finally getting to the final chapter. And I so strongly believe when you're not getting up daily and doing something towards your journey, you're doing yourself a disservice. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to sleep on my own potential. And we all have bad days, right? And some of us could be on a verge of a break, like just breaking completely down. And I always find a way to shift my mindset to break through it. It's like, why not see how good it can truly get for myself if I continue to put in the work daily? And I so strongly believe in that. You know, I see it with just the people around me, especially, you know, people in my family that are older than me. And like we talked about before, you know, why would we not do it when we have some of those resources that people around us do not have it? It's like, why not? Mm-hmm. It's not even a question. It's not up for debate. There's people that have sacrificed for me to be able to do what I am just able to do. So why not do that?
Yeah, I always tell myself it's only a matter of time. I love those quotes that are like, if you knew that you had to get 100 rejections to job applications before you got your dream job, you would celebrate every time you got a rejection. You know, you'd right. be like, oh, one more down. It's only a matter of time. Like, keep going. You know, so I try to look at it that way too. And I also think it makes it easier when things don't work out. It's like, oh, well, it wasn't supposed to happen mm-hmm. that way. Something else better must be coming, or this yeah. was just part of the journey to get me to where I'm supposed to be. So I think it's a mindset thing for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think one of those things that also keeps me motivated on the days where I'm like, am I doing the right thing? Am I moving the right direction? Is I look at older people that are successful, whether they're like entertainment or sports or whatever they may do. And you start to like listen to these people's stories. You're just like, wow, like most of them weren't really making money or who they say they are now until mm-hmm. they were like 30, 40 plus. So I try my hardest to stay off of social media and seeing the people that are doing well right now, because it's like their story's kind of just beginning. They're not really sharing their struggles. They're only, you know, of course, like we say, they're sharing their highlight reel. So I'm like, let me hear it from the OGs in the game. And when you really hear their journeys, it just motivates you to feeling as though, yes, you're on the right path. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm big on listening to people's stories and feeling inspired by those that are truly successful, not people that we deem successful based on what they post on social media, when in reality, like, let's be honest, these people are here today and their careers are gone tomorrow just based on one click of what they say wrong, just one little statement. So for me, it's like, I'm not looking as people that are successful right now. Like, I'm looking at people that are a little older and wiser and have wisdom and have had highs and lows in their careers.
Yeah. They say don't take advice from anyone that you know is not where you want to be.
Yeah. How do you deal with the narrative that successful Black women are intimidating?
I don't think I deal with it because I don't think I care anymore about somebody being intimidated by me. I think I care about who I am and leaving it at that. I think for me, that just falls in the same bucket of you can't care too much about people's assumptions, you know, about you before they've gotten to know you, right? I obviously care about people's opinion of me that I value, the people close to me, the people that know me, or maybe even people that I work with every day. But you can't put too much stock or be overly invested in people's assumptions of you that have not really had any interaction with you whatsoever. And so, you know, if that's the feedback or something like that, like, I'll take it from the people that actually know me, you know. Otherwise, I feel like you can't be overly invested if that's the perception.
Not everyone's going to like you, so keep pushing, honestly. It's a waste of your energy and time.
I don't know. I think it's interesting because I think sometimes people that are successful can be intimidating, period. Not just Black women. I don't know. I think when you get around CEOs or whatever, I think a lot of them can be intimidating. So I don't even think it's just Black women. But of course, because everything we do is freaking scary and aggressive, we're intimidating. But I think successful people can be intimidating to others, period.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that for sure. Have you ever had to outgrow a friendship that couldn't handle your growth?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think it was outwardly said.
It's never outwardly said.
Right.
Ever.
It's just, as we've been talking about, people get quiet when you start to share things or the passive aggressive jabs about you not wanting to do things anymore or you changing and growing and evolving as a person. And yeah, that's when you just gradually go your separate ways.
Yeah, no, for sure. When they're picking little fights with you, maybe they're not showing up for you in ways that they used to. It definitely shows. Like, people definitely show their true colors when you're starting to make progress, which, hate to say it, you should be patting yourself on the back because that means you're doing something right if you're making people upset, right? I mean, it's hard, especially when it's a friendship that you didn't see ending anytime soon. But it's a part of life. And that's another thing when I think of, like, I'm into, like, really listening to a lot of successful people. And most of them will tell you, you know, they don't really have a lot of friends. Or they still have a few of the same core friends because you just start to realize that a lot of people just cannot handle your success. And so you just have to really understand and know who is your core group. Some people may think I have a lot of friends. I'm like, really, like, I know quite a few people, but I would consider a lot of them just more of associates or people that I know, but I would not consider these people my friends because these are not people that know me in and out, know my struggles, know my downfalls, no offense, know my family. So if you don't know my family, then you're not a close friend. You have to reach that, you know, even though some people may think they know your family. It's like, you don't. So, you know, I think sometimes we throw labels on people like, that's my friend, but is it?
That's one thing for me. I was never the type of person that had a lot of friends. I'm grateful for that now. But
you're so funny, Blake.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think I feel like when I was younger, I didn't understand the concept of discernment or whatever. Obviously, I can be a quieter person, a more to myself person. But as I've gotten older, I've realized I've always been the type of person that just had a third eye open. And I think that, like, for the longest time, I just thought it was because, you know, I wasn't the most outgoing or whatever. I was more shy, so I just didn't have a lot of friends. But as I've gotten older, I've realized it's, no, I don't like people because I have always been very discerning. I just didn't understand it when I was younger. And I feel like a lot of my friends will tell you, I was always the friend that was like, no, she's not it. She's weird. And they never understood or whatever. And I'm always the friend that ends up being right. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never understood that when I was younger. But now as I've gotten older and, yeah, dealt with friendship breakups or dealt with weird encounters, like girls are weird. Yeah, I understand that better about myself and the value of just having your core friends and not needing a lot, because people have ulterior motives. They're not genuine. A whole lot of things. So,
and I think the older you get, you start to realize there's more bad people than good people in this world.
Exactly. And I think that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I feel like subconsciously I always knew that, but I thought it was something else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's hard. It's so hard.
I think I was very naive when I was younger, so I actually would always assume the best.
Right. Same.
But as I've gotten older, I've learned to trust my instincts more and also listen to, for me, I feel like women are like this in general, but I feel like for me, like, my body tells me a lot.
Yes.
And I never used to pay attention to it, but now, like, when I feel uncomfortable around someone mm-hmm. or after leaving someone's presence, I feel more anxious or whatever. Like, those are things I never used to pay attention to that now I do.
I'm right there with you on that. I feel the same way. Like, there's certain people I'm around where I'm like, why do I feel like I'm in fight or flight mode? Or why do I feel like, you know, uneasy inside? And those are typically the people that there's definitely some unsaid issue for sure. Mm-hmm. So I agree to that point. Yeah. I definitely watch that now. I'm like, if my body and peace and my energy doesn't feel just, you know, relaxed with you, then that is a problem. There's something wrong there.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with that. You do have to listen to your body first before your mind, depending on the type of person you're around.
And I think that has made it easier for me to let people go, because I feel like it starts off as a whisper, but then eventually it just gets louder and louder and louder. And for me, that translates to anxiety. And if the friendship or whatever it is starting to become way too overwhelming and making me very, like, the thought of being around you or the thought of having a conversation with you is making me anxious, that's when I know, like, okay, no, I can be at peace with this friendship ending, because it's starting to affect me. And it's not just like, is something wrong? Is something not? It's like, no, I'm starting to physically be uncomfortable around you, which is, I don't know if that's God, discernment, right, my nervous system, all of the above. But yeah.
No, I agree with that totally, for sure.
I used to be the type of person, like, I definitely would be more upset or not want to let certain things go. But yeah, now I'm a lot more better about, yeah, feeling peace actually after, because I don't know. I think when you, like, let go of control or let go of the outcome and just, like, listen to your intuition, yeah, I feel like life is a lot easier.
No, I agree. I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not as big on forcing connection or friendship or, hey, girl, haven't seen you. Like, hey, let's catch up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, child, if it just doesn't happen organically, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just at that point where I'm like, I'm not forcing connection anymore. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have enough people right now. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Those are the people that feed you anyway. So.
And I think the more you work on yourself or find other things that you feel passionate about, you realize you don't need a lot of friends. Like, quite frankly, everything we have going on, I couldn't keep in touch with any more friends, you know? I feel like I don't call my friends and family enough or see them enough. I feel like the no new friends is one, I don't have the bandwidth, but it's also, like, you can't trust people a lot of the time, so.
How do you handle being in rooms where you're the only Black woman but still have to show up and perform like you belong?
Remembering that you do belong.
I was literally gonna say
and you deserve to be there.
Yeah.
And I've said this before and I'll say it again. There's no reason, even if you don't feel the most confident, that you don't fake it till you make it. Because when you do make it, you realize everybody else faked it and made it. And a lot of people don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so we're over here having imposter syndrome. Meanwhile, you know, I always say certain people are born with audacity, and that's why they're able to fake it till they make it. Whereas we don't, I feel like we don't do that intrinsically.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I always say, you know, proper preparation prevents poor performance. So being as prepared as you possibly can and going in with the confidence that you are prepared, and the things that you don't know, to fake it till you make it, because that's what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Part of knowing that you belong there for us, because we don't just get handed things, is the confidence in knowing that you put the work in to get there, right? And leaning on that, going to school and you have your final test. You went to, you know, you were in school all year. You studied all year. What's the point of being nervous? You know, you're prepared. Mm-hmm. You put in the work for it. And I think there's a certain confidence that can come from that and knowing that you've put in the work and you deserve to be in that room.
Like I was saying before, you know, your story's already written. So It's already yours. You just have to go for it. Mm-hmm. What would you say to someone that is afraid to dream because they've never seen someone like her do it before? I don't think anyone really knows what they're doing, honestly. It's just you keep going and eventually something works. You're going to get 1,000 no's before you get one yes. You're going to do it wrong 1,000 ways before you get it right or less, right? So I believe in no one is really better than you at what you're supposed to be doing. It's just you have to take some L's, and a lot of things are trial and error in life. Mm-hmm. And so we're always afraid. I'm pretty sure a lot of successful people are still afraid, because even though they're successful, they're still going for things that they've never done before or tried before. So I think most people are living afraid and living in fear, regardless if they want to admit it or not. Mm-hmm. It's just having the confidence to push forward and carry yourself as, I'm going to figure this out regardless. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like when you really talk to people, no one really has the true answers to life.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I was just going to say, one, anything is possible. So just because you haven't seen somebody that looks like you do it doesn't mean it's not possible. And yeah. Two, you know, what's wrong with you being the trailblazer then? Which I think can be scary. So I think you have to be the type of person that's up for that challenge. But yeah, if someone else hasn't done it, you can do it.
All right, guys. Well, this has been a great time, I think, talking about this. Mm-hmm. So moment mantra of today's episode is, there's nothing small about me. I was born to take up space, speak my truth, and walk boldly in my purpose.
Love that.
Yes. And I think that's important, to walk boldly in your purpose.
Love that. And I think when you are speaking your truth, speaking the truth, you're always going to face some sort of resistance.
Right.
Especially like what we were just talking about. Like if you're a trailblazer, you're definitely going to get the most hate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the most resistance. But yeah, definitely keep going.
For sure. Well, guys, thanks so much for tuning in.
Bye.